But first, many older Australians will know what it is to be asset-rich but income-poor. You've paid off your house, which may now be worth a lot of money, but yet your income remains relatively low. So what do you think of the idea of the government paying you a pension every fortnight? It would be a loan with your home used as collateral. And the money wouldn't be paid back until after you're dead, and that money would come out of your estate. Well, the pension loan scheme does that already, and has done since 1998. This morning, a report from the Australia Institute says significantly expanding that scheme would be a simple idea to implement, and it would help older Australians and would not cost the government money. Richard Dennis is the author of this paper. He joins us now. Richard, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we already have the pension loan scheme, and we have for some time. If it's there, what are you proposing that's different?
Well, that's right. I mean, I'd only heard of it in the last year or so, and you don't meet many people in the finance industry or even the retirement industry that have heard of it. But strangely, it's at the moment only available to very high-income older Australians. So our main recommendation is that this scheme, which has been working well and uncontroversially for 30 years, our main recommendation is it be made available on a voluntary basis to all Australians aged over 65.
Okay, so just to clarify, this scheme, the pension loan scheme, is essentially a reverse mortgage type product, but it's currently only available to people who are too wealthy to qualify for any kind of pension. Is that right? So they own their home, but they're self-funded retirees.
That's right. At the moment, the Australian government has been offering a traditional reverse mortgage, exactly the same kind of design as those provided by the private banks. It's been offering that at a relatively low interest, much lower than the banks, 5.5%. It's been doing that for 30 years. But to be eligible, quite bizarrely, you have to be ineligible for the age pension. So it's a rather strange way to use a means test or an assets test. You have to prove you've got a lot of means to be eligible. And I think it would be simpler to implement and certainly a lot fairer to simply say, look, if you're aged over 65 and you own your own home, the government is more than willing to help you boost your retirement income by providing this simple service.
So what is the thinking, do you think, in banning or restricting this so that people on a pension can't get access to this reverse mortgage product? What is the thinking there, that the government's already giving a pension to these people? Therefore, they don't want to give them access to another $200 a week.
Look, agreed. It's a very strange rationale, and you'd have to ask the government, because I spent the last couple of months trying to find a simple answer to this question, and in reality, I think the policy's kind of been lost in the midst of time. It's been around, it's been working well, it's very rarely reported on or discussed. And as for the original rationale for saying where the government wants to provide a service, but we only want to provide it to high-income earners, I can't find anyone who'll put their hand up for that.
Do many people use it now?
It doesn't seem like many people do, certainly not a large percentage of age pensioners or potential age pensioners. It seems that it's most heavily used by farmers who are often asset rich but potentially income poor. But again, there's no mention of it in the Department of Human Services annual report. You can Google it. It's not top secret. It's just no one wants to really talk about it.
So if the government agreed to change it in the way you're suggesting, that would mean someone who's on a pension, living on pretty meagre means that the pension provides, if they own their own house, they could then get access to another double pension in a sense, only this time half of it would be a loan against their own house. So they could, instead of living on, I don't know what the pension is it $300 or $400 a week, they could be living on double that.
That's right. Look, you know, for a single person, the age pension's a bit less than $20,000. What we're suggesting would allow them to potentially up to double their current pension income, or take an extra $100 a week if they think that's all they need. This could really make a significant difference to people who are already retired, who have no capacity to use tax concessions for superannuation or do anything else to boost their retirement. If you're already retired, then that's basically it. This would very simply allow them to boost their income by up to a couple of $100 a week if they want to. This is entirely voluntary. Pay interest on it, admittedly much lower interest than that charged by the commercial banks, but more than the cost of borrowing for the government. So the government would actually make a very small profit on this.
Isn't there an upside for this in policy terms too, in terms of pressure on the budget? We're having a big debate at the moment about the welfare budget bill. There's a lot of pressure for the pension to be increased always, because people living on the pension are certainly not well off. They are living in, you know, a pretty restricted financial lives. This would take the pressure off that call, wouldn't it? But I guess only for that portion of people who own their own home.
That's right. Look, it certainly would. But look, you know, tax concessions for superannuation do nothing to help very low-income retirees. In turn, this wouldn't help retirees who don't own their own homes. But around 70% of pensioners do own their own homes. So we're talking about something that affects a very large pool of people. And, yeah, when you compare it to the incredible cost, around $40 billion a year in tax concessions for superannuation, this would actually cost the government nothing, yet provide a very effective way to boost the living standards of retirees.
So in terms of the pressure on the budget, you say this costs the government nothing, but in the short term they'd be outlaying the loan money, and then they'd be waiting till people died to recoup it from the sale of the estate. I mean, how complicated a process is that, or how infallible?
Look, it's certainly very close to infallible. This would be a first mortgage on a residential property. The risk to government is near zero. But in terms of cost to the budget, what the banks do when the banks lend money to people secured against their homes, they treat that quite rightly as an asset. They see it as a stream of income that they'll own for the life of the loan. So, yes, it would see a little bit of cash going out. But on an accrual basis, the way that government put their budgets together, the cost to the government is zero. Or again, given that they would be charging, if they continued to charge 5.5% interest, the government's borrowing for around 4%. So this is actually a profit maker for the government, even though they'd be providing it at much lower cost than the private banks are currently charging.
I have to say, it sounds like a no-brainer. It's 12 past 8 on Breakfast. We're speaking with Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, who's issued a report, Boosting Retirement Incomes the Easy Way. It's out today. By and large, Richard, how popular are reverse mortgage products that the banks provide?
Well, look, they're not that popular, and as part of this research, I've been speaking to retirees and to financial planners and to a bunch of people who are interested in these issues. And the reasons they're not that popular are, firstly, they're not that well known about. They're certainly not well understood. And in people that I've spoken to, including financial planners, there's a view that many, many older Australians just don't trust the banks. They don't want to go into debt with another bank. They're sort of very glad they paid that off before they retired. So, again, this would be a voluntary scheme. And, again, the government already offers it. It's just offering it to high-income people.
And that issue, just to say with this whole issue of reverse mortgages, because, again, it seems to me it should be a really popular choice. How much of it is people not trusting the banks, which I think, you know, more and more I think that would be diluted. But how much of it is parents not wanting to deprive the kids of an inheritance or to dilute that inheritance, diminish that inheritance?
Oh, look, I think there's a strong desire for many Australians to leave an inheritance to their kids. But let's be clear, that's a choice for them to make. That's not really a taxpayer problem. If we, the taxpayer, want to help people in retirement, we want to ensure they've got enough money to live on, that's quite different from do we, the taxpayer, want to help people to maximise the inheritance they leave to their kids. So this should be entirely voluntary. And there's no doubt that if you chose to take it, you'd be choosing a bit of income, quite significantly more income if you wanted in retirement, while leaving less money for your kids. That's an important choice, but let's be clear, if we're worried about the quality of life of older Australians, that's quite a different worry than worrying about the ability of some Australians to leave a large inheritance to their kids.
Yeah, and it comes as the debate of super goes on. I think you're not particularly a fan of compulsory super, I think I'm correct in saying. But it also goes to this argument that many, many people in this country just certainly do not have adequate retirement incomes.
Look, that's certainly the case, and let's be really clear, they never will. Very low-income Australians, particularly women who've been in and out of the workforce, will never retire with large amounts of superannuation. If you've spent your life working as a cleaner, working as a childcare worker, and taking 10 years out to raise a few kids and maybe another 10 years to look after your parents, let's be really clear, you are going to retire on the age pension with very little in superannuation. And a scheme like this at least allows people to draw on any housing that's been accumulated over their life. And, you know, to come back to it, it really is remarkable. The government is already providing this banking service. It's just choosing the wrong customers. I just can't understand why the government would seek to provide assistance to very high-income Australians while saying to low low-income people and certainly medium wealth people, you can't enjoy the benefits of this.
Richard Dennis, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Richard Dennis from the Australia Institute, and the report out today is called Boosting Retirement Incomes the Easy Way. And I must say, the way he says it, it does sound easy.